It's Tuesday, the 26th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Avery Bradley, and happy Thanksgiving. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Nay Smoove. If you want to be like Nay Smoove and have a cool name, but also be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and that's it. You're done. You're a sponsor of the podcast in one of the upcoming shows. And thank you to everybody who has done that. It does help to attract the interest of sponsors for the show. Helps put the podcast right up in the iTunes rankings. And that is super helpful to just help everything grow and to help everything happen here and improve equipment that we have on the show, improve the quality of the show, improve the time that I can dedicate to it, all that sort of stuff. So thank you to Nay Smoove and, of course, Moneyball, which is Australia's only daily fantasy sports site. Hopefully you've been able to win some money on there if you live in Australia and in New Zealand, because it's been awesome to get in on the DFS action today, and we had the court hearing today on the New York issue. Everything looked like it went okay from a DFS point of view. Obviously, we won't know until the hearing and the finding of the hearing comes down, but it seemed like DFS had a pretty good day in court over there in the States. All right, it's Thanksgiving, so everyone who is in the United States or American citizens all over the world, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. We do not have Thanksgiving here in Australia, so tomorrow or today or whatever day this is you're watching, it's just a normal day for us. But I know that you guys are celebrating a pretty important holiday, and there's no basketball on, so that's disappointing for me from a basketball fan's perspective. But in terms of the podcast, what it means is today there's going to be no daily fantasy preview, obviously. As for the daily fantasy preview stuff for Friday's games, not sure exactly how I'm going to do it yet, whether I release it in a standard podcast form or even before the games are played, say on the Friday afternoon or the Saturday morning Australian time, I do a short YouTube video with my plays of the day. Still yet to work that out, so stay tuned. You'll see information come out on my Twitter as to what I'm going to do with the daily fantasy stuff for Friday. But what we're doing in today's show is recapping all of Wednesday's action. We're also going to have a look back, which we normally do on the Friday show, is looking back at the last 2 weeks of action, looking through the top 20 players, looking through the what else? The top rookies, the top sophomores, the buy low, sell high guys, the under-owned players, all that sort of stuff we'll be looking at throughout the next half an hour or so. I'd say that's a pretty good time frame for how long this this show is going to go. So, Michael Bolton, what should we do?
Let's get to it.
Thank you. Now, the monstrous line of the night definitely had more than one candidate for that today. I went with James Harden for today's monstrous line of the night. It was a huge night for Harden. It was his fourth 40-point game of the season. 41 minutes for Harden, 40 points, 5 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. He went 12 of 19 from the field. He hit all 11 of his free throws. He had 4 turnovers. So, yeah, James Harden. If you drafted him, you're obviously disappointed with the way he started the season, but that was not something that was going to continue, and it clearly hasn't, which is great. For the fact that if you were a Harden owner, or if you are a Harden owner, because everything is coming together, and you'll see when we go through the rankings for the last couple of weeks where Harden actually lies, and it's pretty high up there. He's been putting up some pretty nice numbers. Also, Blake Griffin came into consideration for the monstrous line of the night. He was right up there as well, as was Russ Westbrook. If you look what Harden has done, though, over the last 2 weeks, it's been impressive. He's playing 39 minutes a game, so a stack of minutes, almost 29 points, 2.7 threes, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2.6 steals, 1.3 blocks. There's some really good numbers. And 95% from the line on 10.5 attempts. That's it's obviously super impressive. And he's been really, really good. For a team that is struggling, the Houston Rockets, he's been doing his very best to keep the stats coming. But the rest of the team is just they are struggling a lot. The waiver wire line of the night. How do you stop Ish Smith? I don't know what's going on with this guy. 36 minutes now. I was a pretty big Ish Smith fan. If you listen to the podcast last season, for what he did in Philadelphia in the offseason, I thought that I wanted the Sixers to bring him back to be their point guard. Didn't think much of him, you know, being in Washington and then signing with New Orleans. But again, 36 minutes, 20 points, 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, a steal on 9 of 16 shooting. Now, Tyreek is ever so close to coming back. Ever so close. He was doubtful for this game, ruled out just before the game started. And it's got to impact. It has to impact Ish somewhat. But for now, he has to be owned. You might have to drop him. But he, even in 25 minutes a game, he's going to be useful. Especially with his assist numbers. Because he's putting up 10.7 assists in his last three. 8.1 of the season in 29 minutes. If he goes to 25, what does he give you? 7 assists? Maybe? That's still really good. And it's still, you know, useful across pretty much every league. And he's getting rebounds and he's scoring okay and he's not being his usual terrible free throw shooter. He's just had a really, really weird season. And if you got on the Ish Smith bandwagon early, you'd be pretty happy, because it doesn't matter if Jrue Holiday plays or not at the moment. They're playing together a stack and Ish Smith's putting up the numbers. And so Tyreek and Norris Cole will knock that down. Not so worried about Norris Cole, but Tyreek is going to impact that. But it might take Evans a week or so to get back into the swing of things, to back to full minutes and back to full, you know, ball handling role and usage and all that sort of stuff. So Ish Smith's just putting up big, big numbers continuously. The young gun of the night goes to Jahlil Okafor, who played 36 minutes for the Sixers in the unlosable game that they lost. That is that was a remarkable effort for them to lose that game. Just, I wasn't watching the game. I saw the scores with about 6 minutes to go, and they're up about 14, I think it was. I thought, okay, they're going to get their win. Gee, that's a bad loss for the Celtics, is what I was thinking. Next minute, I look at the score, they've lost by 4. I could not believe it. I'm going to have to rewatch that game and see exactly what went down, because it's just amazing to me that they lost. Okafor, though, 19-9 with 4 blocks. His field goal percentage struggled again, 7 of 17 from the field. 5 of 5 from the free throw line is fairly impressive. But everything else about Jahlil Okafor's game was pretty much exactly what we owe from him. So the blocks are a surprise. 19-9 is pretty good. And the 5 of 5 from the free throw line is a bit of a surprise. So Jahlil Okafor is the young gun of the night. The dud of the night. Ooh, this is hard for me to do. 21 minutes. 3 points, 1 3, 2 rebounds. Evan Fournier, or the Orlando Magic. Not a great night for Fournier, as the Scott Skiles fantasy axe falls on another. Not great for Fournier at all. He was a guy that was playing about 40 minutes a game for pretty much all of the season. The last two games, his minutes have been very limited. To say that I don't know what to do with Orlando is an understatement. The most positive thing from this game, which we'll talk about later, is that some of their better players got minutes, and Fournier was definitely limited. If you own him, you have to hold on. But if this happens for the next week or so, and he's a 20-minute a game guy, then obviously we're not holding. But with Scott Skiles, the temptation that he has to switch things up on seemingly a nightly basis means that we have to hold on. Like, we'll talk about it again later. Alfred Payton played 36 minutes in this game. Nick Vucevic played 32. So Fournier is most likely going to go back up to those mid-30 minutes, but it's just a bit of a stinker that you have to survive, unfortunately. The Daily Fantasy Value Play of the day is John Lua of the Phoenix Suns. He was $3,500 minimum salary, put up 35.9 points on FanDuel. Obviously, it was helped by the fact that Tyson Chandler was a late withdrawal due to being sick, and to be honest, due to being shit, which he's been for most of this season. Not that he's a bad player, but he's been terrible. But John Lua was pushed into a bigger role. He put up a huge, huge line. There might have been some people putting John Lua into their DFS lineups. Don't imagine it was many. Don't know what his percent ownership was. I'm guessing it was pretty low, but he returned significant value. So a big night for anyone who decided, yeah, I'm going to go with John Lua as my DFS play for the day. Worked out well for you guys. Let's go to these games now. Let's not go. Let's go. There were 12 games on in the NBA. So, what are we waiting for? Let's start looking at them. The first game of the night was the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets got a big victory here. John Wall, definitely not back to his best. 14 points, 2 threes. That's 5 threes in his last 2 games for Wall. 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and you really love the 6 steals that he gave you. The field goal percentage wasn't great. The 5 turnovers aren't great, but he's okay. He's not as bad as what some people are making out, but he definitely has been struggling. A nice game from Marcin Gortat, 17 and 12 with a couple of blocks and a steal. And let's get this straight now. The Gortat is unowned in some 10-team leagues and some 12-team leagues, and that shouldn't be the case. Brad Beal had 17, 4 and 2 with 3 threes and another subpar shooting performance. This is the Beal we're going to expect. You know, I think that you can expect 17 and 4 with 2 to 3 assists a game, and that's really good. Just what he did at the start of the season was unrealistic. And what the hell's going on with Gary Neal? 28 minutes again for Neal, 18 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Huge line. That's 2 in a row. After last game, I said it was a bit of a fluke. I don't think it happens again. Well, 2 times, is that still a fluke? Probably, but it is worth paying attention to. Because the Wizards go small. Chris Humphries started, played 17 minutes. Nene played 17 minutes. They didn't do very much. And then Jared Dudley played 24. Gary Neal played 28 minutes. Otto Porter was limited in this game. He wasn't in foul trouble. He was just really bad. 3 points and 3 assists for Otto Porter in his 27 minutes. And Neal is going to have nights where he has value. So 14-team league guys pay attention. But I'm not looking at adding him in a 12-team league at this point. For the Hornets, Nick Batum was battling gastroenteritis, and he came through in a big way. 34 minutes for Batum, 16, 7, and 11 with 3 threes and 2 steals. What happened to Kemba Walker? Was he as awesome again? Well, he wasn't quite as awesome as he was in the last game, but 16, 2, and 5 with 2 blocks. And he's a really good shot-blocking point guard, and that's underrated in his game. And he went 8 of 17 from the field, another high field goal percentage game for him. Not quite the same as what he had the other night, but still a really good performance from Kemba. Al Jefferson, 14 and 11. Marvin Williams bounced back with 14 and 11, 2 threes, a steal and a block, so a good night for him. Reminder, he still needs to be owned, but there is going to be a drop-off tendency, I'd say, at some point. And Jeremy Lamb, really, really, really good game from Jeremy Lamb. 18 and 7, 2 threes, a steal, a block. 6 of 12 from the field, so another good shooting performance from Jeremy Lamb. I don't really know if he's not a must-own player for 12-team leagues, but if he's going to play 31 minutes off the bench, then you have to pay attention. Now, PJ Hairston played 16 minutes. He copped an elbow in the head. Jeremy Lin only played 15 minutes. So there was 4 fouls for Lin. So that enabled Lamb to get up to 32 minutes. So I think that we see Lin go back to 24-25 and Lamb come back down to 24-25. So that's going to limit his effectiveness. But it is worth noting how well Lamb has been playing. Cody Zeller played 22 minutes, 11 and 8. And Frank Kaminsky got 17 minutes. Not a great night from Frank the Tank. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Orlando Magic. Carmelo Anthony, 28 and 13, 3 threes. A big night from him. Most important to see with Kristaps Porzingis is, again, 36 minutes. He's getting big, big minutes. 10 and 8 for Porzingis. Not his greatest shooting night, but he still took 13 shots. So that's also something that's important to note. 3 of 13, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. But even on a night where his shot was really struggling, 6 blocks. He is just putting in some just ridiculous performances, Kristaps, and one of the more fun guys to watch in the NBA. Jose Calderon, 23-4, 3-4 with 4 threes. There's going to be bad games from Calderon. I don't expect there's going to be many games exactly like this, but with the minutes he's getting and the role that he's in, I think that you definitely have to look at owning him. And Robin Lopez only needed 23 minutes to go 8-12 with a couple of blocks. Pretty good night for him. I'm going to say this again. Aaron Aflalo is just not good. 31 minutes, 10 points, 2 threes, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 0 steals, 0 blocks. He's a shooter and a scorer who can't score or shoot. That's who he is. Maybe I'll be proven wrong at some stage. And I used to really like Aaron Aflalo for fantasy back when he was in Detroit and then even when he was in Orlando. That's where he went, in Orlando and in Denver as well. His early stops, I liked him. But the last year in Orlando, the second stint in Denver, just not appealing to me. Not much else to talk about on the Knicks bench. Jerian Grant down to 6 minutes. I think that ship has sailed in terms of he being a stash guy. Langston Galloway down to 16 minutes. He's probably not a 12-team league guy either. On to the Magic. Okay, so they did make a change in the starting lineup, and I can't on any level agree with the change of what they did, because substituting Victor Oladipo out of the starting lineup in place of Channing Frye doesn't make a huge amount of sense, especially then when you play Channing Frye 20 minutes and Victor Oladipo plays 26 off the bench. I'm never going to understand that. 3 points for Frye. We're not adding him even though he started. Oladipo, 26 off the bench. He needs to play more. He led the team in scoring 24 points. He went to the line 15 times, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. It's a really good buy low opportunity for Oladipo if someone is really panicking about the fact that he played a game off the bench. I don't like him on the bench, but it is a good really buy low moment. And you, but you have to be buying pretty low to justify making the move. And this is why Scott Scholes is frustrating, because you just never know what is going to happen. As I mentioned before, Evan Fournier down to 21. Nick Vucevic, 32. 22 and 12 with a steal and 2 blocks. A massive game, and that is why we loved owning Vucevic, why we drafted him. Toby Harris, 17 and 10. Lord Alfred Payton, after a complete miserable, I don't even know what kind of performance he put up in the last one. 36 minutes here, 12, 6 and 11. And that's great for Lord Alfred. I don't know what to make of it. Just play your best players the big minutes. It's pretty straightforward. And I know they got the victory, so Scott Skiles can come and stick 2 fingers up in my face and go, Josh, shut up. Just play your best players. And you know who's not your best player? Jason Smith or Channing Frye. They're not. Smith played 15 minutes, 8-3 with a steal and a block. He was really efficient. Hit all 3 of his shots, but who cares? And with this lineup shakeup, Aaron Gordon, nothing changed for him. He only got 17 minutes. So speculative ads on Aaron Gordon. If there's someone else you want to go speculative add on, you can just move on from Gordon in 10 and 12 team leagues. 2 points, 5 rebounds, and a couple of blocks in his 17 minutes. So the changing of the guard did not result in Gordon doing anything different, and it definitely didn't result in Mario Hezonja doing anything more. He played 42 seconds in this game. Him and Devin Marble, the human victory cigars. Yeah, there's a... I don't think Skiles and Hezonja is a really good partnership at this point. Now, Shabazz Napier went from playing 30 minutes and putting up almost 10 assists to playing 12 minutes and 2 points with a rebound and an assist. So, yeah, Scott Skiles, everyone. Miami Heat and Detroit Pistons. Hassan Whiteside went 15 and 13 with 3 blocks. That's a pretty standard Whiteside line. He's averaging over 5 blocks a game in the last 2 weeks. We had a Udonis Haslem sighting. This was a blowout, so that's probably why we saw him. 4 minutes for Haslem, 7 points, and not much else. Chris Bosh struggled, 9 and 8. Dragic went 13 points with 4 assists. And Gerald Green, who got the start in place of Luol Deng, had 16 points in 38 minutes, 2 threes, 5 rebounds. Now, I was not expecting Green to get the start in place of Deng. I thought that Winslow would get it. Winslow's minutes stayed the same, though. He played 29. He went 3 points and 8 rebounds. So he's still that defensive sort of guy who's not going to score a huge amount. This game, as I said, was a blowout. Dwayne Wade only played 23 minutes, 2-2-2 with a steal and 2 blocks. Not a night to remember for D. Wade. Tyler Johnson got himself another 22 minutes, went 8-3, but yeah, it's hard to look at him in 12 team leagues. Andre Drummond, another 20 rebound game. A huge night from Drummond, actually. 18-20, 2 steals, 5 blocks, 9 of 18 shooting, and he only had 1 free throw. He missed it, but he only took 1, so it didn't really hurt you in that area. So that's, I guess, relatively handy. Anthony Tolliver, 25 minutes for him, 12-5, 4 threes and 2 assists. He's a deep league guy, definitely. He's definitely worth looking at in those deeper formats because he's getting some minutes on some nights. Now, more minutes again than Ersan Ilyasova. Reggie Jackson, 18-4-7 with 4 threes. Pretty decent night for him. You don't expect 4 threes out of him. And even Ersan was pretty good. 23 minutes for Ersan, 13-3-3 with 3 threes. Marcus Morris did what we expect him to do, put up mediocre stats in big minutes, 14-6 with 2 threes and 36 minutes. If those minutes drop, he's going to drop, and he's going to be dropped in leagues, but he's still getting them, so it's still working out. Stanley Johnson went 7-5 with a steal and a block, but importantly for Stanley Johnson, he took 12 shots off the bench, the most of the entire bench unit. So if those minutes is pushed into 27-28 range, and then you'd want to look at him for standard leagues. He's not there yet, though, clearly. There was no Spencer Dinwiddie in this game, so Steve Blake took over the backup point guard role and played 22 minutes. The Philadelphia 76ers, I touched on this before, they could not get the victory somehow. I don't know how that was the case, but anyway, I can't wait to go and watch exactly what happened in that last bit of that game. They made the starting lineup change that they needed to make, and that was Robert Covington came in to replace Jeremy Grant, and Covington was awesome again. 11-14, 2 threes, 6 steals, 2 blocks. If you're not convinced now that Robert Covington was a must-own player, then you probably should give up playing fantasy basketball, to be honest, because, look, that's not true, because he doesn't fit everyone, because, 4 of 16 from the field is horrible, but he fits pretty much everyone. You can use Robert Covington a lot. Isaiah Cannon moved into the starting lineup with Nick Stauskas out with his knee problem. 12-5 with 2 threes, a steal and 2 blocks. So a really strong streak from Cannon. He's a streaming guy for standard leagues at the moment. but I think you've got to look at him if you need points and threes. Jeremy Grant back on the bench, 6-5 with a couple of blocks. His standard league relevance is kaput, I would say. Hollis Thompson got 33 minutes with Stauskas out as well. 15 points for Thompson with three threes. Now, TJ McConnell played just 20 minutes in this one. 6 points, one steal, one block, one assist. Doesn't look great for TJ McConnell with the impending returns of Tony Roden and Kendall Marshall. Doesn't look great at all. He lost minutes to Isaiah Cannon, and Phil Pressey got 18 minutes here. Just, it doesn't look good for him moving forward. Now, I think you still hold him if you've got him, unless there's someone really red hot that you want to go and grab. But by the time Christmas comes, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of TJ Who going around. Nolan's Noel, what is this guy doing? 3 points, 8 rebounds, a block. Not a good night for Noel. Do not drop him, though. Really good buy low opportunity. Looks super low. And scour the waiver wise to see if he gets dropped. But not, hasn't been great from Nerlens Noel this season. On to the Celtics. Marcus Smart. Now, it's thought that maybe he's going to be out longer than 2 weeks, which is not ideal if you're a Marcus Smart owner. And if you don't have an IR spot, you maybe want to have a look at dropping him, depending on what more information comes out. Isaiah Thomas, 34-6, 4 threes and a steal. Good night from him. Jared Sullinger, only 9 points, but 15 boards, a three and a block. He continues to be the better big man on this team. Jay Crowder, 8-8 with 2 steals and 2 threes. And yeah, his value is so predicated on getting some boards and getting some steals. And Avery Bradley, not the greatest of nights, still took 15 shots, but went only hit 4. 10 points, 2 threes and 2 steals. He is still a must-own player with Smart out, 36 minutes for him. Evan Turner is one of the guys I want to focus on. He had an all-time great quote as well. And by all-time great, I mean, this guy just sounds like an absolute dickhead. And no wonder Lance Stevenson, I'm not a Lance Stevenson supporter. I don't stick up for Lance Stevenson. But no wonder Lance Stevenson punched him in the head when they were on teammates in Indiana. Evan Turner went 16-9 with 3 assists. I don't actually have the quote in front of me, but he compared his last second pass to Jay Crowder to Michael Jordan. He said that it was ingenious by him to make that pass. And there was some other things in there that was just... Look, maybe he was taking the piss, and if he was taking the piss, it's pretty high level humor. But if he's serious, then he needs to take a good hard look at himself. Amir Johnson, 6-8 in 25 minutes with a steal and a block. That's good, but the minutes are just not there as they are for Sullinger, and he's not as productive as Sullinger. So I don't think we need to look at owning Amir Johnson in all standard leagues. We definitely don't need to look at owning him in standard leagues. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors, huge win for the Raptors. Apparently the Cavs have held a players only meeting after this one. I think that might be getting a little bit too ahead of themselves. The Cavs started at point guard, Jared Cunningham. Now, let's get something out of the way here, David Blatt. If Mo Williams is fine to play, and he's fine to play 32 minutes, why are you running him off the bench? Why are you putting Jared Cunningham? Now, Matthew Dellavedova was out with a sore, I think he had a calf issue. He had a calf issue. Why is Cunningham starting? Just put Mo Williams out there. Let Williams run with the guys he's actually been running with and playing well with and setting up and all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying it costs in the game or anything like that, but it's just a dumb move in my opinion. Mo Williams was back. He'd missed a couple of games with a sore ankle, 15-3-3. A three-pointer, a block, a really nice night. J.R. Smith was also good, 15-2-4 with 2 steals. LeBron, 24-6-8. Probably the best thing from LeBron is he went 11-12 from the free throw line. That's a lot better than what he's been doing so far. And Kevin Love, 21-13 with 5 3-pointers. Tristan Thompson, again, 11 points, a block, 4 of 8 from the field. This is exactly what he is going to do. Do not expect anything more, and you won't be disappointed. Kyle Lowry, I don't think he could disappoint you at the moment the way he's playing. 27-3-6, 4 steals a block, absolutely out of his mind. And Luis Scola is definitely playing better without Jonas Valanciunas. 30 minutes for Scola, 15-7. If you need points in a 12-team or maybe an extended bench 12-team league, Scola is definitely worth looking at. Damari Carroll, 12-3-2, nice contribution across the board. DeMar DeRozan, 23-4 with a 1-1-1. Nice contribution as well from all those guys. Corey Joseph, though, is not ownable in 12-teamers anymore. He played 17 minutes here, 4-3 with an assist. The return of Terrence Ross has limited those 29 minutes that Joseph was getting. The minutes have come down, as has his production. Bismack Biyombo looks like he's locked into big minutes now, 33 minutes again at center, but he doesn't do much. He's sort of a Tristan Thompson guy. He still hasn't had a block in his 2 starts, which is a little bit weird. 11 points, 12 rebounds, nothing else. He's going to be a free throw hindrance. He was 4 of 7 from the line here, and he's going to be a rebounds guy. That's the only, or hopefully a block guy. Hasn't happened yet. So he's not a must-own guy, but he is in the situation. Look, he's not a direct replacement. If Valanciunas is injured, I'm adding Biombo, because Valanciunas is a highly efficient player who scores and gets rebounds, whereas Biombo doesn't score. He gets boards and gets blocks. So there's trade-offs with both of those guys. The next game, the Atlanta Hawks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Those giant killing Timberwolves. Let's try that again. Those giant killing Timberwolves. Yeah, that's right. I'm getting myself confused. The Timberwolves. Let's start afresh. The Atlanta Hawks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves got the huge victory over the Hawks. The Hawks still put up some pretty good fantasy performances. 22-10 for Paul Millsap. 2 steals, a block, and a 3. Al Horford 12-12 with a steal and a block. He's cooled off significantly, Al Horford, since the start of the season. Still putting up really good numbers, but not at the level of Millsap. Jeff Teague 22-5-5. Thabo Sefolosha again, really efficient. Hit all 4 of his field goal attempts, had 10 points, hit 2 threes, and had 6 rebounds. A block as well. I'm worried, if I'm a Kent Bazemore owner, if I was, I'd be a little bit worried that Thabo is going to steal his minutes. Maybe steal his job. Maybe steal his girl as well. Who knows? Thabo's out there playing really well and putting up numbers. Let's see exactly what happened. Another Tim Hardaway sighting. 12 minutes here. That's 5 points for him combined in his 2 games. He remains a trash NBA player. Dennis Schroeder really limited. 2-3 with 2 steals and 2 assists in, 14 minutes, so he's not worth owning in a 12-team league. There was no Thiago Splitter or Bazemore in this game. Kyle Korver had a good game too, 11-9 with 2 steals. On to the Timberwolves. Karl-Anthony Towns struggled again, 2 games in a row. 6-6 for Towns with a block, not the greatest performance from him. But what it did show is that, you know, Gorgui Dieng is a really good basketball player. Dieng played 26 minutes, completely in relief of Towns. 10-11 for Dieng, 2 steals and 3 blocks. And this again goes to the fact that Gorgui Dieng, if he gets minutes, he's a top 50 potential fantasy player. The problem is, how many times is Towns going to suck and they're going to play him 22 minutes? And Dieng is going to play 26. It's not going to happen often enough. Sam Mitchell needs to open his eyes and he needs to play Dieng and Towns together, because Dieng is really, really good. And he's just really good. There's no other way of saying it. But if he's stuck behind Towns, he's going to go back to 18 minutes in the next game, and he's not going to put up numbers enough for 12-team leagues. And it's just not going to happen often. Now, if there's a Towns injury, you're spending, you know, a massive amount of your fab to go and grab Dieng, because he's going to be really good. And we've seen it all season. His per 36 numbers are still pretty solid. But it's his role that's really, really difficult to keep an eye on. Kevin Martin started again, 11 points in 23 minutes. That's 2 dud starts for him in a row. Really, probably not necessarily a must-hold guy, definitely not in 10-team leagues. Andrew Wiggins, 15-4 with 3 steals and a really bad percentage tonight, so killed both your percentages tonight. 5 of 17 from the field from Wiggins, and then 5 of 8 from the free throw line. Tayshaun Prince inexplicably played 21 minutes. Let's not let that happen again. There was no Nemanja Bjelica again. Damian Rudez, 13 points in 17 minutes. And Zach LaVine, 27 minutes for LaVine, 18-5-6 with 2 threes. I reckon you got to own LaVine at the moment. 27 minutes as a bench guy, putting up really nice numbers. I think he pretty much has to be owned, especially now with Ricky Rubio dealing with a sore ankle. Now, he didn't sprain, he just said he had a sore ankle. Only played 21 minutes, went 5-3-6. And the amount of hatred spewing towards Ricky Rubio on Twitter after this, by fantasy owners, by everyone, calling him trash, is out of control in my mind. I don't know why everyone hates Ricky Rubio. Everyone hates him. I don't get it. Can someone explain to me why you hate Ricky Rubio? And don't say it's because he ruined your fantasy team, because that's a bullshit excuse. Why does everyone hate him? I don't see why everyone's like, oh, good, he's injured, get him out of here. Look, he's a really good basketball player. I don't understand why there's so much hatred towards Ricky Rubio. If someone could explain that to me, it'd be great. I would really appreciate it. Yeah, and that's that. Shabazz Muhammad, we thought he was going to get a bigger role. He's not. 16 minutes for Shabazz, 5 points with 2 rebounds. So thank you, Kevin. Kevin? No, that's not the right guy. Sam Mitchell. Where did I get Kevin from? Sorry, guys, I'm a little bit delirious at the moment. The next game, the Sacramento Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks. There was no DeMarcus Cousins with his back issue, so we saw a starting front court of Kostas Koufos and Willie Cauley-Stein. Kufos was really good. 14-9, a steal and two blocks. He's had pretty much 12-team league value for most of the season, definitely deeper than that. And when he starts, and when Cousins is out, there's more scope for him to put up big numbers. So he's a guy that you want to look for in that situation. And Rudy Gay was great coming back from that shoulder strain again. 36-5-2, two threes, really efficient night from Gay. And Omri Caspi, awesome too. 19-7 with three threes. And all Caspi needs is minutes to beat. Much like Gorgui Dieng, all he needs is minutes to be a fantasy relevant player. Speaking of minutes, Rajon Rondo played 39 of them again. 10 points, which is not good, but nine rebounds, 13 assists, and a block. It's still a really good line. Not his best performance, but he's getting a stack of minutes, and it doesn't look like it's going to change. They moved Darren Collison back to the bench. Collison played 26 minutes, 18 points, not much else. You can still definitely use that in 12-team leagues. I would still be holding on to Darren Collison, but Rondo is just putting up crazy, crazy good numbers at the moment, and the minutes are still out of control for him. Marco Bellinelli, 17 points in 23 minutes with three threes and a couple of steals. He's still only a deeper league guy. The Milwaukee Bucks, not a great look for them to get beaten by the Kings here. Jared Bayless, again, 36 minutes for Bayless. 13-4-4, three threes, four steals. OJ Moore hasn't actually hurt him coming off the bench. And this was a little bit weird because Chris Middleton had limited minutes due to fouls. Giannis fouled out in 30 minutes. Michael Carter-Williams played just 28 minutes. Jabari Parker played 21 minutes. So yeah, the bench guys like Jared Bayless and like OJ Mayo played big minutes. But Bayless has been trending that way anyway. 13-4-4 is a really good night from Bayless. OJ Mayo played 29 minutes and had 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 threes. And I still think he's got a fair bit of potential to put up some nice numbers. It's just probably not going to be a 12-team relevant stat line. Greg Monroe has dropped off, 11-7. 4 blocks is unexpected for him. So you're happy with that, but the scoring and all that is definitely tailed off. Giannis had 21-5 with a couple of blocks, and Chris Middleton hit 5 threes, 21 points, 6 assists, and a steal in just 24 minutes. That's an awesome night from Middleton. A lot of people were really frustrated with Middleton this season. I don't think you need to be too worried about him. He's going to do what he needs to do. Carter Williams, on the other hand, that was yuck. 0-7 from the field. He did hit all 4 of his free throws, so there's a little bit of a silver lining there. But no rebounds, no threes, 3 assists, 1 steal. Not a great night. This is coming off a pretty decent night, though. So, look, one good game, one horrible game. You still have to keep holding him, but I can envisage a situation by January that you don't have to own him. You still have to do that now. Shockingly, Jason Kidd, and maybe this is because Jason Kidd got ejected, John Henson played 19 minutes and went 15-11 with a block. This is what this guy can do. He just hasn't been getting the opportunity. So we need to obviously watch his minutes, and it's probably going to be hard for him to get minutes or get enough minutes to be fantasy relevant, but just a bit of a subtle reminder of how explosive he can be from a fantasy point of view. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets, big win for Memphis here against the Rockets. No Zach Randolph again. So we saw Matt Barnes in the starting lineup. Another big night from Barnes. 13-8, two threes and a steal. And if we just knew he could get 30 minutes a night, then he's a must-own player to me. It's just hard to do it. You stream him in and you hold him while Zebo's out, but Zebo doesn't appear like he's going to be out too much longer. Jeff Green had 20 points with 7 rebounds in another start. Mike Conley, 19-5. And Tony Allen actually played 28 minutes here and went 10-5 with 2 steals. Marc Gasol, not a great night for him. 11-7 in 39 minutes. So not the best performance there. And the bench guys, Mario Chalmers, this is Mario Chalmers, 6-3-5 for him. And Jermichael Green down to 12 minutes with those all those wings getting big minutes. And that's exactly how this game went. It was basically a center and just all wing guys on both sides. So speaking of the Rockets and what they did, Dwight Howard played 40 minutes, and they went really, really small. Terrence Jones, as the starting power forward, played 19 minutes, 3 points and 4 rebounds, and we're going to touch on some listener questions a bit later about Terrence Jones, but a lot of people are fed up with him. Not a good sign when he plays 19 minutes, granted, but I don't think that'll be an all-the-time sort of thing. Howard, back to him, had 12-5 with 3 steals and a block. Harden, we've talked about him already. Jason Terry started. 13 minutes for Terry, 3 threes, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. A really nice performance from Jason Terry. Patrick Beverley was back. He played 19 minutes, 4-2-2. Everyone's favorite drink driver, Ty Lawson, played 3 minutes. He registered no stats. Didn't take a shot, didn't do anything. He is done. He is the third string point guard in Houston. You can drop him in your 10s, your 12s, your 14s, and your 16 team leagues. maybe even your 18-team leagues. He is done. There is a massive, massive problem with him and this team at the moment. He is the third string. And when you're third string behind the corpse of Jason Terry, you are not looking in good shape for an NBA career. Trevor Ariza had a pretty good night, 8-12 with 2 steals. Good performance there. And Clint Capella, in only 8 minutes of action, had 2 steals and 3 blocks. He's all obviously a must-own if Dwight goes down for extended periods, and he's a great DFS play on nights where Dwight rests. But Dwight apparently is not going to be sitting in part of back-to-backs anymore. So the Capella value is pretty low at the moment, or the propensity for him to have value. I really want to see what happens when Donatas Motiejunas comes back. If he ever comes back, we just don't hear anything about him, because I've maintained this a lot. Terrence Jones is a great fantasy producer when he can get playing time. Great. Not a good player. Motiejunas is a better player than him. I much prefer Motiejunas as a player. So if the Rockets think that way and play Motiejunas 27 minutes and Jones 22, then his fantasy value drops. But if Jones gets the minutes, then he's a really useful fantasy player. That's, yeah. And that, it all comes down to how the coach wants to look at it. The Brooklyn Nets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Lopez, 26-8, 2 steals and 2 blocks. A good night from him. Thad Young continues on his aggressive path to redemption, I guess. 18-8 with 3 steals for Thad Young. And another big game from Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. 11 points, 11 rebounds, and an assist on some pretty solid shooting. He's okay for 12-team leagues under certain circumstances. You generally have to not care about points, and you want assists and you want steals and rebounds. But he can definitely help. Jarrett Jack played just 26 minutes, 9 points and 3 assists. He did battle foul trouble, so there was a reason for the low minutes. That allowed Shane Larkin to play 25, and he went 10, 4, and 6 with 2 threes. And if Jack went down, Shane Larkin would be a guy that I'd be adding across all leagues. Joe Johnson, not a good night. 2 of 11 shooting for 5 points with 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And the Bojan Bogdanović hype train that I was on a little bit earlier this season, 22 minutes for Bogdanović, didn't really produce the goods at all. 4 points and 2 rebounds. He is only a deep, deep league guy. Hollis Jefferson has clearly surpassed him in the rotation. For the Thunder, Russ Westbrook, 26. I hate saying Russ Westbrook. What do I say it? Russell Westbrook or just Russ? Russell Westbrook, 27, 6 and 13 with 5 steals. Big night. Kevin Durant, huge as well. 36 and 5 with 5 threes and 3 blocks. Big nights from the big guys. Serge Ibaka, 12 and 8 with a couple of blocks. That's all right. He's definitely not living up to top 20 sort of potential. And Dion Waiters, back to a bench role, was productive. 16, 3 and 2 with a couple of 3-pointers. You can sort of look at him in 12-team leagues, but you can probably find better options. Much like you can probably find better options than Enes Kanter, who played just 15 minutes here, 6 and 9. I am still holding him in a 12-team league. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. So that's the Red Rock Listener League. Steven Adams went 4 and 4 in 21 minutes. Nick Collison got 12 minutes as well. So just sort of spreading those center minutes around to a lot of players. Dallas and the San Antonio Spurs is up next. Good win for the Spurs. Low-scoring game. We saw Dirk Nowitzki went 13 and 14 in 35 minutes. Darren Williams, not a good shooting night, 4 of 16, but 8 points, 9 assists, and 3 steals. Pretty good return. And Wes Matthews played 36 minutes in his second half of a back-to-back, and he put up big numbers. 15 and 4, well, big numbers in the minutes column, 15 and 4 with 3 threes. It looks like his minutes restrictions is pretty much done, and that's great if you own Wes Matthews. Devin Harris played just 16 minutes, which is weird because he had a rest yesterday. Didn't play big minutes at all. 11 points and 3 rebounds. And JJ Barea only played 13 minutes, suffered a pretty severe ankle sprain. Looks like he will miss some time. We don't have a definite diagnosis on that yet, but it's only a deep league teams that really are paying attention to JJ Barea. We should see Devin Harris and Ray Felton get bigger bumps. Now, Felton got a start here with Chandler Parsons out. He played 37 minutes, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Obviously not the greatest sort of performance from Ray Felton, but the minutes were pretty big. He will absorb a lot of Barea's minutes when Barea misses time. Now, JaVale McGee was back here. 16 minutes for JaVale, 9 and 6. So that reduced Dwight Powell to 12 minutes. So 12-team league people, say bye to Dwight, because there is no point in rostering him at the moment. That is 2 games we've seen that trend be the case. Zaza Pachulia had a real stinker. Foul trouble limited him to 21 minutes, 4 fouls in that time, 4 points, nothing else. I think we forgive him because he's Zaza Pachulia 1, and the stretch of games he's had before that have been super impressive. Speaking of super impressive, Kawhi Leonard played 40 minutes, 26 points, 4 threes, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. So all the people who were like, no, he can't get on Kawhi because he plays for the Spurs and he's going to get popped and he's not going to play minutes. He's playing just incredibly big, big minutes at the moment, putting up huge numbers. He looks like he looks like a superstar, basically. Then the numbers he's putting up are superstarish. He's playing 35 minutes a game. He's playing 37 minutes a game over the last six games, just putting up huge, huge numbers. Tony Parker's been really good as well recently. 16, 8, and 8 for him in 35 minutes. And LaMarcus Aldridge returned and went 18 and 7 in 34. Not a great night from Timmy Duncan. Just 2 points, but 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and two blocks helps out. And what about Danny Green? What did he do? Well, he shot the ball poorly again, but he did contribute 2 threes, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. And again, I've said this before, if you rostered Danny Green hoping for points, that was not a good move. So he ended up giving you 2 threes, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. They're all really useful numbers. And, you know, I think if he averaged 2 threes, a steal, and a block with 6 rebounds, I reckon you should be really, really not happy with it, but it's ownable. And you have to sort of look at what expectations are and if your expectations were too high, which is a possibility with some people. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns, big night again from Anthony Davis. He is just rebounding the ball like crazy. 26 and 17, 2 steals and 2 blocks on really, 11 of 14 shooting is fantastic. Eric Gordon, another big night, 23 points, 4 threes and 3 assists. That will drop, I'm assuming, with Tyreek back. And Drew Holiday got up to 25 minutes, 19, 2 and 5 with a block as well. Ryan Anderson, 37 minutes, 20 and 6. So another good scoring night from Anderson. But we think that he might be in for a little bit of a downgrade when Tyreek returns as well. The two starters, 2 zeros from Alonzo G, 0 points in 16 minutes. Omer Asik, 0 points in 10 minutes. Honestly, how bad does Omer Asik's contract look? It was a shit contract when they signed it. It looks worse 2 months later. He is just battling. He's a massive battler. That's about as positive as I can be with Omer Asik. Onto the Suns. Eric Bledsoe returned. He played 37 minutes, went 18, 2, and 7 with a couple of blocks. But it was Brandon Knight who led this team to led them in terms of what he did statistically. 42 minutes for Knight, 29, 4, and 10 with 4 steals and 4 threes. So a huge night there. Mentioned John Lua had the daily fantasy value of the day. He played 25 minutes off the bench, went 20 and 12 with 2 threes, while Mirza Toledovic played 21 minutes and Markieff Morris played 30. That's with Tyson Chandler at. Morris went 8 and 8 with a block, so not a great night from him, but not terrible. And the starter was Alex Len, and he played 16 minutes. The Suns are going with so much small ball now, it's not funny. 2 points for Len, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Still maintain Len's a really good player, and he's going to put up really good fantasy numbers if he can get 25 minutes plus. It's just not going to be happening this season, I wouldn't have thought. TJ Warren also had a good night, 18 points. He doesn't do anything else, so he's a scoring guy, he's a field goal percentage guy, and he gave you that 1 rebound, not much else. And that can be useful in certain spots, but not really across the board. The last game of the night was the Utah Jazz and Los Angeles Clippers. Another loss to the Clippers. Gordon Hayward was amazing. 33, 7 and 2, 3 steals and 5 threes. And everyone who was down on him at the start of the season would be pretty happy that he's picked it back up. Derek Favors went for 22 points. And Rudy Gobert with a very Rudy Gobert line. 10 and 11, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 4 of 4 from the field, and 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Hal Neto, 10 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, probably his best game. Now, he played 26 minutes because Trey Burke lasted just 8 minutes before suffering back spasms, so Neto played more minutes, but the Jazz also went with that 3-wing lineup a lot, playing Rodney Hood, Alec Burks, and Gordon Hayward a big chunk of minutes. Now, Burks struggled, 8-6, not a good night for him. Hood was pretty good, 13, 4, and 5, and not much to talk about with the bench guys. On to the Clippers, Blake Griffin was awesome, 40 and 12 with a couple of blocks. Yeah, super efficient, and Chris Paul as well, 24, 5, and 8 with 3 steals and 2 threes. Both those guys, they're pretty solid. DeAndre Jordan, you love 11 rebounds, 3 steals, and 4 blocks, and that's what you pay him to do, or what you drafted him to do. What you don't like is JJ Redick scoring 3 points in 21 minutes, and the rest of the bench is pretty poor. Wes Johnson started, and I really like the fact that he's starting, but 1 rebound in 20 minutes, that's clearly not cutting it for fantasy purposes. All right, that is the games from Tuesday done. Don't go away because I'm just going to have a short break, and then we're going to look back at the last 2 weeks to try and uncover some trends and talk about who's hot and who's not. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I'm wondering Okay, we are back, and just a quick bit to finish off the show. We'll do these 2 week review section, and then we'll do some listener questions, and then we're out of here. So let's look at the top 20 players head to head 8-cat rankings for the last 2 weeks. Number one is Kevin Durant. He's only played 2 games in that stretch, but he's averaging 4 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. It's hard to get above him there. Although Steph Curry does his darndest, coming in at number 2, averaging 32 points with almost 5 threes a game. The third place guy is James Harden. Westbrook comes in at 4. Kyle Lowry just having a continued great season. He's 5th. Paul George is 6th. Chris Paul is 7th. So a lot of people were really down on Chris Paul. This guy's shit. Why did I take him in the first round? Well, he's back on track now. He's 7th over the last 2 weeks, getting things going. DeMarcus Cousins is 8th. DeMarcus Cousins is averaging 31.8 points, 11.6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He's averaging 1.6 threes a game in these 2 weeks, which is incredible. He's averaging 0.2 threes a game less than what Chris Paul is. Just where did that come from, really? That's all I needed to say. Hassan Whiteside at number 9. He's, as I said, averaging 5.8 blocks, 11 rebounds. And Rajon Rondo comes in at number 10. He's averaging 40.8 minutes, 13 points, 1.33 is a bonus for him, but it's 8.9 rebounds, 14 assists, 1.9 steals. That's where his value is concentrated in those three categories. Just putting up, you know, crazy, crazy, crazy good numbers and crazy minutes. Anthony Davis is 11th. Brandon Knight is 12th. Draymond Green comes in at 13, averaging some big numbers as well. Eric Bledsoe at 14, LeBron at 15, Kemba Walker at 16, probably a surprise addition to the top 20. Andre Drummond at 17, Kawhi is at 18, Isaiah Thomas is at 19, and Paul Millsap rounds out the top 20, coming in at number 20. That's obvious. Let's look at the rookies now, the top 5 rookies over the last 2 weeks. Karl-Anthony Towns is at 40. Kristaps Porzingis is closing in, though. He's at 42nd over the last couple of weeks, putting up some really, I think, amazing performances that, you know, not many people could have expected coming. He's averaging 15.9 points, 1.4 threes, 9 rebounds, and 2.6 blocks. Just putting up great, great numbers, Kristaps. Jahlil Okafor, 67. Emmanuel Mudiay at 90. Remember, this is head-to-head leagues, not roto leagues. For roto, he'd be about 250th. And TJ McConnell at 91. Whereas the top 5 sophomores, Zach LaVine at 84. Lord Alfred Payton at 110, Andrew Wiggins at 111. Gary Harris is an interesting guy there at 117. He's getting the minutes and he's being okay as the starting shooting guard in Denver. So I don't mind him being owned in deeper 12s, definitely. And some 12-team leagues have some value for Gary Harris for the threes and steals. And his scoring has gone up a little bit as well. And Rodney Hood comes in at 121. Let's look at some guys who are potentially some sell-high options. Kemba Walker, I mentioned, at number 16. If anyone buys it, he's going to keep shooting 47% and retain top 20 value. I think that they're dreaming. I love Kemba, but I don't think he's going to shoot that percentage. Kevin Love at 22 with the return of Kyrie Irving. He'll have a drop, but it won't be a big drop, so just watch out if you're selling him. Thad Young at 24 has been awesome, but I just don't think he can keep up that pace. CJ Miles at 30, same, been crazy, but no one's going to give you top 30 value for CJ Miles, so maybe not a great sell high guy. And Ryan Anderson at 39. There's a lot of love for Ryan Anderson around. Tyreek's going to hurt him, I'm pretty sure. He might not, but I think Tyreek is going to reduce him. So if you can sell someone on, this is Ryan Anderson, this is Orlando Ryan Anderson, this is top 25 Ryan Anderson, I would do it. Buy low, guys. John Wall is ranked 49th over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of hatred towards John Wall. I'm looking at you, mainly Vivek. There's a lot of hatred towards John Wall, but he can be better than 49th, so I'm looking at him. Jeff Teague at 80th. Bit of a down week, but back from that ankle injury. Greg Monroe at 94th. He wasn't going to be as good as he was early on, but he's not as bad as this. Same with Serge Ibaka at 104. He's just not that bad. So if you can buy him really low, I'd be doing it. And Brad Beal at 181. If people are looking at player raters or rankings and look at that and go, yeah, Brad Beal at 181, he's not going to be that. He's also not going to be the top 20 guy. So he's been a sell high guy on this show. Now he's a buy low guy. He's somewhere in the middle. What I want to do now is look at out of the top 100 players, which guys have got less than 50% ownership in Yahoo leagues. CJ Miles at number 30, we touched on already. Jose Calderon at 52. I reckon it's hard to avoid owning him now. Jeff Green at 63. I'm less confident in that sticking. Ish Smith at 64. Touched on him earlier. Jared Bayless at 71. Mario Chalmers at 75. I don't buy that at all. That was fueled by just insane free throw volume. TJ McConnell at 91. Worried. Kent Bazemore at 92. Not even playing and I'm worried. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson sneaks in at 96, so I'm happy with that. And Shane Larkin, probably the surprise guy at 98, really putting up some good numbers. I'm not looking to own him in 12-team leagues, But if you play, say, with instead of 156 players, like 170 or something along those lines, you definitely have to look at Larkin, because it's not like Jarrett Jack is young or he's great or anything like that. He's been really good, but you know, Larkin could take some minutes off him, maybe. We'll see. The triple ones for the last 2 weeks. And if you're new to the show, a triple one is someone averaging a three-pointer, a steal, and a block per game. Over the last 2 weeks, the following six players are doing that. Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Marvin Williams. One of those names probably doesn't fit in that group, and we all know that it's Marvin Williams, but he has been really good. There are going to be duds from him, no doubt, like we saw a couple of games ago. That's it for the weekly review part. Let's look at some questions for the podcast. Fantasy Anon on Twitter at Anon Fantasy Feed. What do you do with Noel and LaMarcus Aldridge? What should owners expect in a trade 9-cat roto? Thanks. All right, look, it's the worst time to trade these guys. You can't look, wait for LaMarcus Aldridge to have a big game and trade him. I wouldn't give you a top 50 pick back for LaMarcus Aldridge. Some people would look to think as him as a top 20 guy, and I would say that they're wrong. Look, it's the worst time. It's the worst time to trade him. Nerlens Noel is barely ownable in 9-cat roto league at the moment. You're not trading them at this point. You just have to hold on and go with it. I think that if you can get a top 50 guy back for Aldridge, you're winning. And if you can get a top, if you're trading at the moment, if you can get a top 70 player back for Noel at the moment, you're winning. I would just be holding them though and seeing exactly what plays out. Fred Mutto asks, is Terrence Jones worth holding on to? Would you drop him for Jeng or Jokic? Definitely not Jeng, because Jeng's minutes are completely dependent on Karl-Anthony Towns. Nikola Jokic, no, I really like Nikola Jokic, but with the return of Joffrey Lavernier and the return of Yusuf Nurkic, he is likely going to be squeezed. Look, he might not be, but the potential for him to be squeezed is, I would still hold on to Terrence Jones in that situation. Arturs Senhoffs on Twitter at Shanes50, is Kevin Love going to lose value once Kyrie is back? I would be shocked if he didn't lose value. Now, how much he loses is up for debate, but I would be shocked if he continues the exact same level that he's doing. Barry Baker, the podcast question maker, is back at BarryBaker8664. Willie Cauley-Stein or Bismack Biyombo in a head-to-head points dynasty league for a bench spot? Well, I don't know your point scoring, Bazza, so I can't give you exact information, but you said it's dynasty, so it's Cauley-Stein. He's got more room to grow. Biyombo is who he is. Now, Cauley-Stein could basically just be Biyombo throughout his career, but he could also get better. So, dynasty, bench spot, Cauley-Stein. License to Trilgauskas on Twitter at Roy is the boy. 10-team, 14 roster spot league. Do I drop Joakim Noah in favor of a streaming spot or other options? Yes. Yes, you do. Just Be Aware on Twitter at Just Be Aware. What's Jeng's season-long value? Is he more than a waiver wire add-on in 10-team leagues? No, he's not. Not adding him in 10s, not adding him in 12s. His value is awesome if he plays. And there's just no value in that, I don't think. Victor J. Flores on Twitter at Victor John Flores. Fournier's minutes have decreased the last couple of games. Do you think he will get heavy minutes again? Yes, I do, but when that happens, I've got really absolutely no idea. Jake Smale on Twitter at Biggie Smales. Why did I roster Towns the past two games in cash games? Very good question, Jake. I did as well. I ended up cashing them, so hopefully you did as well. He's in a bit of a slump, but let's not worry too much there. Hoops at Friedel underscore P. Low-end point guard, Calderon or Tony Parker? That's a good question. Calderon's definitely been outperforming Parker recently, so I would probably look to him, but in the end, I reckon you're going to have similar value. Radicalp10 at XORAD10. Nikola Jokic, Dwight Powell, or Joffrey Lavernier? 14-team, head-to-head, 9 category. Well, Powell is minimized. Lavernier's not playing. Has to be Jokic. I can't see any other option for that question. All right, we are done for today's podcast. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Tomorrow's show, just stay tuned to Twitter to see exactly what's happening in that show. As I said, it might be just a short DFS preview, or I might do that as a video a bit closer to tip for some more up-to-date information. So let's we'll see exactly what I'm going to do with that one in terms of the podcast. But then after that, we'll be back into the usual routine. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Leave a review on iTunes. Subscribe on YouTube. Check out hardwoodparoxysm.com, basketballmonster.com, and of course, moneyball.com.au. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.